Rick Ellenworth, the Lac La Brea Valley Superintendent, is in the studio with another Lac La Brea Valley School update. And good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Paul. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. nice cold weather we're going to have.
Oh, yeah. It's Minnesota, isn't it?
Oh, unbelievable.
The best of Minnesota.
Yeah, and that keeps you busy, I bet, out at school with the postponements and stuff like that.
Yeah, we have had, last week, I think we only had school a couple days, and now we've got a little more weather threatening, but the ability to use e-learning days has helped a little bit. I think that we don't take chances maybe we used to. But they tell me that winter starts tomorrow. Is that right, Paul?
No, it's already started.
here we go anyway.
Yeah. Hey, maybe some of our listeners, what is the process of calling school off?
Oh, sure. No, I'd be happy to share.
How does that work?
So there's a ring of about 25 superintendents, I'd say, through this part of the state and south of us, a few schools north and east and west. And they're on a calling tree, basically, watching the weather, watching weather reports, letting folks know if they're out driving what the road conditions are. And so we start a conversation the night before, generally. Might be 6 or 7 o'clock the night before if weather is threatening. And so we get a pretty good handle of what other schools are doing and that type of thing. Nobody anymore, with all the communication opportunities, works alone.
Right.
But we're in contact with Kristen Pierce, who is our transportation director, coordinates all the transportation for our district. And we've got some folks that live on the perimeters of our district. And you know, our district is big.
Large.
It's geographically large. And what I like to do, or what's worked well for me over the years, Paul, is if we see something coming with our communication systems today, we can reach out to families and give them notice the night before, generally. With e-learning, as long as we give proper notice, that becomes an alternative. It works better for high school kids than it does for the littlest of kids, because they don't use devices. But I got to tell you, I probably missed more calls over the course of my career. You know, that's the superintendent's nightmare. You call school off, and then the sun comes out, and everybody's wondering, what's wrong with that person? He makes those calls.
Yep.
But this year, knock on wood, we've been able to stay in front of it. And our first concern and second concern and third concerns always are safety.
Right.
We're concerned about safety of our kids, safety of our staff. We have people coming from other communities that teach in our district or work in our district. We have about 160 employees. And so everybody wants to know as soon as possible. In fact, this week, I even got a call on Monday from somebody saying, you know, we're supposed to have storms at the end of this week. So, but I got to tell you kind of a cute story. They interviewed the superintendents, or they surveyed the superintendents in the state of Michigan about the thing that they would miss the least upon their retirement, and it was making school weather-related calls. It's one of those things you learn that you're only right about half the time, and there's this pressure you feel because families got to go to work. They might have to find daycare if we don't have school. I've been blessed that people have been very kind, you know, whether I'm right or wrong over the years.
Right. Well, we appreciate what you do with that. That's a tough decision. You actually don't really make it by yourself, though, do you?
No, it's in combination with a number of with other schools, and with, we can call the police department or the sheriff's department to get weather reports, or the county, you know, road services and stuff. And this year so far, we've basically had no doubters. I mean,
No question.
Yeah. No question about what to do.
Yep. Well,
we do know that families appreciate as early notice as possible. So
that's right.
When I get up about, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock on a weather related morning, because once we make the decision, there's a number of calls that have to be made.
Right.
My administrative assistant Lisa Bungarden helps me with that, so she's got a routine down. And once we make a decision, there's all kinds of little things that happen.
Right. Good. Well, good luck this week.
Yeah, but I'm really looking forward to April.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Well, I remember a few years ago, the first couple weeks of April, there was no school for a while.
Well, maybe I'm May. Maybe I'm May.
Go May. Go May. Yeah. Okay, well, if you're just tuning in, we're visiting with Rick Ellenworth, the Lock Braw Valley Superintendent. And Rick, you had a school board meeting Monday night.
We did, and we moved the meeting to 5 o'clock because we had a really wonderful high school choir concert. Our director, Chad Felton, put it on. I think he mentioned he had 130 or 40 kids on stage with the various vocal groups we had, and it was a packed house. It was a very nice night, and I'm glad we got it in. I'm appreciative of the work they did, too, because their practices leading up to the event were all called off because of weather last week.
Okay.
But it was really a fun concert. So we've had a great band concert and Christmas vocal concert, and it's good to see the public support about both those areas.
Right. And Q92 will be airing that Lock Braw Christmas concert on Christmas Day.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. That's great. It's I hope our kids and families tune in. And but it was really well attended last night and a very nicely done concert.
Okay, good. So what happened at the school board meeting?
Well, as you know, Paul, we start out with a student council report each month. And last night, Carly and Taylan Kranz both reported from the student council about activities that are going on. And the board really appreciates those reports from the student council members. You know, we're all there for kids. So it's good to see the oldest of our kids reporting to the board on the activities that are going on. And those two students made very nice reports. When that was done, we jumped into a presentation from Scott Sawatsky, the high school principal, and Paul Lowry, our counselor. And we are looking to transition from a seven-period day, which several schools around the country still operate, and we've been doing it since the 50s or 60s. And we're wanting to move to what's called a modified block schedule, and that will be some traditional classes in terms of the length of the classes. So there'll be 48 or 49 or 50 minutes, something like that. Okay. But then we're also blocking some of the classes together so they have longer periods of time. And we're doing that especially for some career tech classes. It could be like ag classes or construction trade classes, science classes. And the idea there is to have a 80 or 85 or 90-minute block of time. So the kids come in, the teacher takes roll, they get about the instructions, and then let's say they're practicing welding, they get a sizable amount of time to actually work on the development of whatever the teacher wants them to learn.
Okay.
And then they get time to put it away. It could be it's a science class and they're doing some labs, and the kids get a chance to really do that like they would maybe in a college environment or in a vocational school environment. So it's been a lot of work on behalf of Mr. Sawatsky and Mr. Lowry. They put together a committee of staff that have been here for a while who could give them some guidance on what are things to watch for. We don't have a firm plan in place, but these two educators explained to the school board last night where they're at in the process, and that we're moving full steam ahead with the idea of implementing for the 23-24 school year.
Okay. Is that just for 5th and 6th grade then, or for everyone?
No, that's actually for our 7th through 12th
graders. 7th through 12th, okay.
And primarily the 9 through 12 will benefit the most.
Okay.
But a number of other schools are doing it, and we do a phenomenal job of preparing kids for college. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
And what we want to do is put some things in place with our schedule so we can do the same kind of job in preparing kids for vocational school or for careers right out of high school or for technical school.
Right.
And we really feel good about it. There's a good energy. Our staff has been very open to the idea of doing what's best for kids. And so as kind of an outsider, I'm very proud of what I've seen and how these folks have engaged in this whole process
good.
So far.
Good.
There'll be a lot more about it as we come down the home stretch this spring. Also, the board heard, you mentioned the 5th and 6th grade schedule. So last year when we did all that restructuring, we had a couple staff that were reduced there.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're wanting to restructure that program so it better meets the needs of all of our 5th and 6th grade kids. And so there was some dialogue about that at the board meeting last night. And
okay.
It likely means we'll try to hire a couple more teachers. at the fifth and sixth grade levels. Okay. But we're in a position now with the restructuring we did a year ago to be able to afford that, and as we move forward. So
okay.
So we had that report. I know that you and I have talked, I think, on the last couple programs about the facility out at the high school, and it's not a popular thing to talk about, but air handling units just aren't very interesting to talk about.
Right.
But once they go down, people understand they're greatly needed. And the ones that we have on our high school building are 33 years old now, and they have certainly served a lifetime for us, but we're concerned that that as they get older and become dysfunctional, we can't find parts and they need to be replaced.
Right.
So we're in the process of, last night we hired an architect, Wold Architects and Engineers, and they'll be working with the board over the next few months to figure out how to move forward and what to move forward with on that project.
I think we learned a lot about that during the pandemic, because we need air movement in rooms.
You really do. And, you know, our high school is, as we were talking a little bit before, it's like a lot of buildings, there are no windows that open to the outside. So once the climate control systems or environmental control system shut down, there is no air movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to be proactive here and be on the front edge of this. If even today, as we look at it, the construction on it wouldn't even start until the summer of 2024.
Okay.
And it probably would be a two-year process, so the summers of 24 and 25. And that's because it takes about a year to get all the equipment on site and be able to, have the inventory there. So when you start the work of replacing them, it all can be done in an efficient way.
Okay, good.
But we're moving forward. I want to just assure the public we're moving forward on something that is best practice, and trying to do it in a way that will be first class. And the people that look back on us 20 years from now will say they did a really good job of planning and
yep.
thinking this through.
Okay.
Our director of teaching and learning, who is Maureen Heineke, made a report to the board on the world's best workforce and some goals. And I'll just say about that, Paul, that basically a year ago we set some goals, and we had some activities that we were doing to help accomplish those goals, and then we measured those goals at the end of this year, and now we're planning for the coming year.
Okay.
And so Maureen made a report to the board on the progress of all that, and it's posted on our website for anybody in the public that might be interested in seeing it. I always like to show appreciation for donations and gifts and grants that we received. And this month, the Lacaparo Study Club gave a gift to the district for the Little Eagles Daycare, and we're very appreciative of that.
Nice.
Yep. The moving forward, I think the next important thing to mention would be that the board finalized the certification of the 2022 taxes payable 2023, and that's basically a levy that we send off to the county and that they implement across the entire school district. But looking at those numbers compared to last year, it actually shows about a 2% decrease in the coming year over what it was in this past year.
Okay.
And then the board approved a consent agenda that included the resignation of Community Education Director Steve Sterrud, who's accepted a similar type position, a recreation position, coordinating position in for the city of Willmar. And I guess the last thing I'd want to mention is, you know, we're in full swing with our winter activities, and anybody that goes to the gym or attends those activities, and I know you do this at mm-hmm. not only our school but all over the area, kids today, they want to show enthusiasm, so we've encouraged them to go to one end of the gym, and they get the bottom four or five or six rows of seats, whatever it is, on one end, and then they like to stand. And
yep.
if you go to college games or whatever, you see this all
even
the time.
Even Viking games.
Even Viking games, yeah. You go buying a seat, but nobody gets to sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
However, at our games, I wanted to have a little dialogue last night, because sometimes people that have gone to a lot of games over the years, they might have a favorite place to sit. or they might think that our kids are being disrespectful, you know, by standing during the game, because it might cut off some sight lines. But I just wanted to reassure the board last night that we're going to continue to do that, allow that. These events are for our kids. We want our teams to feel really great about being supported, so we love it when our fan base comes out. But probably the most important thing to a lot of kids is that their classmates get to come to the game and they're cheering them on. And this is how it happens. So I just want to make a point to explain to the public, we're going to continue to do that. There's plenty of places to sit. But we want our kids especially to enjoy their high school experiences, and this is one way they get to do that.
I think about every game, basketball game, there's always a theme night, and that's my favorite thing, to show up and, hey, it's Hawaiian night tonight, or everybody's dressed in Hawaiian apparel, and or a whiteout or a blackout.
Yeah, that's fun. It's kind of a craze, and it's fun to see kids get engaged like that, or they'll dress up and wear some stuff that I would used to use the word goofy about, but they really have a good time, and I've just noticed they couldn't be more respectful around me and what I've witnessed. So their energy and excitement is not a reflection on a lack of respect. It's mostly an enthusiasm for their buddies
That's
and
right.
friends on the court.
And like you said, it's for the kids.
That's right.
I remember when I was in high school cheering for my teammates at a wrestling match or whatever. So
well, I remember when I was a high school athlete, most of the fans were yelling, "Get that kid off the court." But going back to your base comment, it is about the kids, and we want them to be enthused, and we want everybody to have a good time coming to those games. So
good.
And we're off to a really good start in our girls and boys program, and dance is doing really well, and
Wrestling is doing really well.
They just, I heard we just won the
first place at Redwood
Riot. And I happen to, I still live down there. My wife and I do. And that place, I'm going to say that place had to have a couple thousand people at it this weekend. There were cars all over, and it was just packed. And
now, how long were you superintendent?
I was there for 44 years.
44 years. Okay.
Superintendent for about 30.
Okay.
So,
love the field house there.
Yeah, a lot of good memories.
You had a big part in that, I bet.
We did.
Okay.
We worked with the city of Redwood Falls, the school district did, and are very proud of the whole campus is pretty special. So, a lot of good things happen because people work together.
That's right. All right, Rick, anything else?
No.
Cover everything?
Appreciate the opportunity, Paul, and want to wish you and Maynard and everybody out here, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Bring some warm weather to us.
All right. Well, it won't be this week.
Okay. Take care.
All right. That's Rick Ellenworth, the Lac Qua Valley School Superintendent, with another Lac Qua Valley School Update.